You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
On a surface configured for podcasting about your Columbus crew, it is the Massive Report podcast. Back at our haunt here at Saucy Brew Works, where, I mean, the beer is wonderful. I'm enjoying a juicy hazy right now. Thomas, you're going the coffee route.
The black coffee was, the coffee machine was put to sleep tonight for the evening, so I have an Americano with water.
It's all right. I like it. Yeah. A little bit of zing. Planning on staying up half the night, are we?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Fair enough. All right, I'll follow.
He's got to review his jury duty from today.
I have to go
what?
Over
You're
all
on
of
jury duty.
I'm on.
You can't talk about it, can you?
I won't talk about any cases, but I'm on grand jury duty.
Wow.
Which means I'm there every day, and all the legalese. I think I'm ready to use it in my soccer reporting.
Well, I hope you're ready for a long commitment because
there were some felonies.
Sometimes you could be there for a while.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
All right. Fair enough. But you can't talk about it.
I'm not talking about the case.
Man, I have so many questions, too. All right, distract me, someone. Murph is here. Sam is here. We are back here at Saucy Brew Works. The brew works for you, whether it's brewed coffee or brewed brews. And some great food here. I know the pizzas just fly out of here. We're at 3rd Michigan and Harrison West. And you know, come see us sometime. We're doing the Mass Report podcast. My name is Brian, and happy to be here to talk about the 2-0 loss at Yankee Stadium in New York City.
Did you say you're happy to be here to talk about the 2-0 loss?
I'm not. I'm just
He's
trying
happy
to
be here.
I'm happy
comma,
to be with you.
We
guys.
Are talking about.
We happen to be talking about this because this is
sure
what we're here to talk about.
I want to make sure that this is clear to our audience.
All right, first of all, I just want to get this out of the way first. I tweeted this the other night, and I say it every time we play in Yankee Stadium, that I'm never, ever watching another game contested on that surface. It is not soccer. You might as well play at Madison Square Garden. Let's what was it, the Columbus Invaders?
Play
was
futsal.
That our Gladiators. Indoor soccer team?
Oh, no, soccer. I was thinking football.
The indoor soccer team from back in the day here. Let's just play indoor soccer in New York and dispense with that ridiculous setup. It's not even big enough for baseball, let alone for the beautiful game. And there's no end in sight to this. We have to go there at least once a year. Mm. It's appalling.
Mm. Well, and I think when people think about the size of it, that's one thing. And the team actually deals with that pretty well in terms of preparation. That, you know, they line the fields at the practice facility differently so that it's you spend the whole week training on a smaller field. What players keep talking about, and they have for years, is the sight lines because of how the field's set up. You know, you think of a normal soccer stadium, it's rectangle around the field. And so when you look up while you're dribbling, while you're making runs, while you're doing things, you're used to seeing kind of certain generic landmarks in a stadium that are different when it's a curved end at one side because of the baseball stadium, when there's a foul ball pole, you know, things like that. That's the thing that I think really throws guys off in talking to guys about playing there is more just – you know it's going to be narrow. You know the field's not going to be in great condition, but you can deal with that. You play on turf. You play on some other poor fields. But it's just the normal sight lines that you have as a player are completely different in that stadium. And if you've ever been there, even as a fan, you can attest to the fact I was there once back in the day, and you know it just doesn't look right at all.
No, it doesn't.
We shared a picture from, I think it was John Clem who posted his picture at the game. It was awful. I think he could see half the field. Maybe from where seats are. Yeah. If you're not in one of the bleacher seats, it's kind of, well,
and it it looks so weird on television because you go, is there anybody there? But they're sort of packed in these certain areas, I suppose, so they can see. This can't be a pleasant experience for their fans. And I know they won the cup. Good for them. And they have a good team. I'm not slagging them. I'm just, you know, all this talk that Don Garber's had about having soccer-specific stadiums. And here at the number one market, the number one media market in the entire world, and you can't figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a double-edged sword because the Yankees don't want them there.
No.
You know, they don't want to have a soccer team playing
Thus,
there.
Thus, the zip ties for their championship
exactly.
banner.
They won't let them hang. There was the banner I noticed behind one of the sort of in the corner, you know, bended corner, that said 2021 MLS Cup champion. So they do have something a little bit bigger now. But Yeah, the Yankees don't want that. I was talking to some of the crew traveling staff before they left on Friday, and you know, they have a credential that normally gets them into the various stadiums and things like that. You have to get a specific Yankee Stadium credential that's issued by the Yankees. I mean, it's just a whole mess. There's a whole bunch, just because it's Yankee Stadium, there's a lot of security clearance that goes into that. But on the other side, their whole thing coming into the league was they were going to be New York City's team, right? And unlike the Red Bulls or the past Metro Stars, they don't want to be playing as New York City's team, but playing in New Jersey. So building a soccer stadium in New York City is obviously very difficult. So I get why it's been used that way. But, I mean, I remember the time when Don Garber, since you brought him up, said you had to have a soccer stadium to come in as an expansion team. Well, now we have Seattle, and we have Atlanta, and we have Charlotte, and Minnesota played. Now, they had plans to build a soccer stadium, and they did, but, you know, the rules have been bent for certain teams when it came to
Nashville,
yeah. But at least those teams had plans to build a stadium, whereas Atlanta, and I think Charlotte does, but Atlanta and Seattle, you know.
It's the owners,
clearly.
Though. When you have NFL-like ownership, they're willing to open the door. New York, Man City ownership, you're willing to be like, well, all right, you bring a lot of money and notoriety, so the stadium is kind of important, but we'll be okay if you don't get one.
Well, and I think the fact that they won a title buys them more time for this garbage, and that's what it is. It's garbage. It ruins the game. It's not a game of soccer. I don't know what it is, but it's like U9. And that second goal was the perfect example of that. Now, Castellanos, and you know they train up this play. The Hail Mary, the long bomb out of the back because that field is so small. Mm-hmm. I used to coach youth soccer. I saw this all the time. I tried to get my players to not play that way, to not cherry pick, because they don't learn anything. But, you know, if we're going to give it to them, they're going to take it, and they took it.
Well, and it's hard to tell for sure, and this will be a question for Caleb, because he sort of answered about, you know, it was a mistake, and Josh and Jonah were stepping forward because it was a set piece, but they played the set piece quickly, short, and so it was a mistake all around. But, you know, you just mentioned youth soccer. You learn very early on. You got to have the last man on any sort of play like that. And I was complaining about this on Twitter Saturday night, and somebody pointed out to me that Manchester United gave up an even worse goal a few years ago in the Europa League where there wasn't even anyone back. At least Jonathan and Josh were somewhere near Castellanos. But
Liverpool did that to them too.
Well, it was not.
Yeah,
it was not as egregious. But yes, you're right. I wasn't going
to
bring that up.
That's impressive doing it on a real big person-sized field.
I mean, I think the major difference, even if it were a big field, would have been maybe more time to catch up to them. And they, you know, they hauled butt to get there. But you just can't leave a guy 10.
Not of his quality.
He was the top goal scorer in the league last year.
Yeah,
right. He's not just a guy. He's like, he's a finisher. He's not. Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't going to miss that.
I mean. Now, that was still, you know, he chips room, and, you know, I think Aloy did as much as he could to kind of deny that. But, you know, any striker of a professional quality, if you leave them completely unmarked with a field to dribble, they're at least going to create a dangerous chance. Yeah.
Thomas, what happens if the script is flipped and Miguel Berry is Castellanos and we bomb that ball out of the back and he's onside because he's on his own half of the field. What happens at the end of that play?
I think without having a defender in front of him, I'll give Barry the benefit of the doubt.
You think he scores
I think he would in that situation.
Maybe not the exact same way.
Maybe not a chip. I think maybe it's the situation where goalkeeper's running up, maybe try to dribble around him. Maybe you get a penalty out of it if you get,
Nick
blown in. But we talk a lot about the field. The first goal wasn't the field's fault. And the second goal was
right.
The first defensive
fault.
So it is a rough match to watch.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving us excuses. I'm simply saying as a fan, it's unwatchable.
Oh, right.
But,
no, for sure, yeah. And I think the defense helped make it unwatchable.
Did we make mistakes that caused us to lose the game to a good team? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah, I mean, it was much more watchable last year when Zelrayan puts in two free kicks, right? I mean,
You
felt better about that. But, no, I mean, you know, you give up a goal, nine minutes in?
Nine minutes, yeah.
And, you know, it's – now, credit to New York City because – not only can they play on that field, and some of their quick passing around the top of the box, you know, it is so much narrower that you have to play quick. Mm-hmm. And Caleb said last week, you know, we're going to need technical players to do this. And you saw that with the lineup choice, and I know we're going to get to that. But the way that they play, you know, the kind of ticky-tacka, quick one-touch, two-touch passing, and you saw that. But still, and, you know, when they play on a normal-sized field, they can do that too. They just space it out, and it, you know, that's why they're as good as they are. And, you know, I mean, some of their players are, you know, pretty significant transfer fees, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, with the crew defensively on that first goal, I mean, it's just got to be better. You know, I know Stephen Marrera is just back in the lineup after an injury, but he had a chance to make a tackle and end the play at the top of the box, and he whiffs on the tackle, and, you know, then the ball's in the back of the net real quickly. And, you know, again, against a good team like New York City, they'll punish you. They've got plenty of attacking options. That's what they do. You know, they mm-hmm. score goals.
Yeah.
And they've started doing it recently. And, I mean, you know, given the score lines they've had, other than the 0-0 draw with Sporting Kansas City the week prior, I mean, the crew were lucky to only give up two. They've been on a tear.
And our history with NYC is also one where we have to absorb a lot of punishment. They're, in the past anyway, I didn't notice as much physical play the other night, but they bring – when you step onto the field, you're going to assume that they're going to lay the lumber to you as well, if need be. You know, that they're the complete package, and that they have that class, but they also have that physicality. Right. And that physicality plays really well on a small pitch, too.
And I feel like the physicality of past years it was David Villa and Pirlo, and then you just had a lot of
Even last year, though, they were
the caliber of players they're bringing in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're such a good technical side.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the formation a little bit. There were some moments where, yeah, New York is going to do what they have to do to slow you down. I think they're smart about some of the fouls, especially the attempted wide receiver catch by Maxi Morales there soon after New York's goal. They do some creative things to stop you, but yeah, they're just.
Are you talking about when?
When he had both hands up,
if
he
was, the referee was looking right at him, and the ball struck him in the arms.
He did get a yellow card. You couldn't see it.
I must be thinking of something else. You couldn't see it
on the air. No, he lifted both hands up to actually deflect the ball. Because we'll get into the formation. There was a reason why he did it, but yeah, they'll do what they have to get you.
All right. Well, let's talk about tactically how we set up in this game. It was different in that Lucas was slotted on the outside. Now, he was given a lot of freedom to, at least on paper, drift into the middle, I suppose, if need be. What was the goal of this? Beyond scoring goals, obviously, but what was the thought behind it?
I think the goal was having the extra midfielder in there. They could change their formation a lot easier because James Miffle, you talk about the technical, you want a technical players. That's what he said after the match. Aiden Morris, he's a great midfielder, but he's also a lot more aggressive, and he's probably not more of a finesse player that you want. I thought the goal was have it at a 4-3-3, absorb New York's pressure, and then you can switch the formation up if you need to. You can let Lucas move around, but that early goal, and you could tell before that goal, the crew were not in the match yet. their legs were not in it, ready to compete yet, it looked like. And I thought we never really got a good shot of what they wanted to do because, like you said, Lucas, yeah, he would have a lot more room to move around. He would be on the wing, but then he could flex. He could move into the middle and do pretty much whatever he wanted. But once they went up a goal, it was just overrun his side of the field. That's what they did.
I think in this formation, it does not do Lucas any good to play on the wing, because what happens is right now you don't have somebody who can score.
Yeah.
So all of the defensive pressure is make sure you're covering that guy by one, two, or three guys.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be effective, but nobody else has scored outside of Derek Etienne. And it seemed like he wasn't really getting much of the ball either. So trying to shoehorn Zellery in that position as a quote-unquote forward is not helping him, and I don't think it's helping the team.
Yeah. And Miggy had one chance. He had one chance, really, inside. And that was right on the outside of the penalty area. With all the players then focusing on Pedro, focusing on Lucas on that side, you saw Barry drifting over to the left to try to give them more numbers over there. But then it left the inside the box empty. There's nobody there to try anything. And it was frustrating. Yeah.
And I mean, the idea, I think, was this formation's been working. And, okay, how do we get Zellerayan involved? Because, you know, you saw for 45 minutes against New England, he played as a false nine. That didn't go great. Though I think that's something that they can revisit, even though he's not entirely comfortable in that role. But he's not entirely comfortable on the wing either. And Caleb had even said that earlier in the year, that when they worked on it in preseason, it just didn't quite fit. Maybe that was some posturing on his part to, you know, we'll say this publicly and then we'll use it when we need to.
right.
But, you know, because we saw it in preseason in, I think, the second game in Charleston. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, you had Matan in there. You had some other guys, but it didn't work well in that game. So, you know, I think they need to figure out what to do with Lucas, because he's obviously the best player and the most dangerous player right now. So how do you – I mean, everything should be geared around making him successful right now, right. I think. And until you have another player who can take some pressure off, you know, because, I mean, you've seen in the past – who was it? Montreal with what's his name that played on the left wing but was the same type of player as a
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I'll think of it here. But the Argentine that
started with a P. It might have ended with an I.
Piatti.
Look at that. I did know it.
Yeah, they you know, they used him as a winger who had freedom to move around, and I think Lucas can do that. I just think you need to know how it's all going to work, and I don't know if 1 week was enough time, you know, because he hadn't been fully training and things like that.
Well, isn't all this shuffling around, isn't it really to cover up the vast void we have at striker?
Yeah.
Right.
And trying to sort of fake your way through it. And we saw, you know, we've talked about this so many times, it's so hard to find a good striker, let alone a great striker. And when you have a Castellanos, look what happens.
Right.
We don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, to my question about what would a Miguel Berry have done with that opportunity that Castellanos had, I think he would have put his head down and run himself right out of the play. And it pains me to say that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be mean, but I don't see any growth here, you know?
This year, and... last year he was dribbling through players and he was creating his own chances. This year, he's getting into areas. There's always a defender in front of his face, and he's not getting around the players like he did last year. And I think also, players, once you, and we've said this throughout the season, it's not anything new, but defenders figure you out. You've been in the league now. You can surprise folks last year, but I know what you mean. And Caleb said that over the last few weeks, is that right now, it's kind of piecing things together until we can bring somebody in. He said that himself. Like, it's going to be rough up front. He's going to try different things until they can bring that DP striker in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned Castellanos. I think a lot of guys in MLS would finish that. Whether Miguel Berry would or not, we can debate. But you also saw 2 weeks ago what Buxa does for New England. You know, simple ball into the box. I mean, it doesn't look like much. He just kind of waits in between the two center backs. But it's hard, you know, it makes it difficult for him to be marked. One of those guys has to pick him up. They don't. And then the header he put, it went over Room's hands, and, you know, it was just perfect.
Yeah.
And that's when you have a guy like that, and the crew have had that in the past, you know, not to go way back, but a Brian McBride.
Yep.
You know, even Giassi on his day, when the year he scored 19 goals, I mean, when you have a quality forward, and MLS is starting to get more and more of those.
Yeah.
You know, Caleb's mentioned it, some of the best teams in the league, Seattle, Atlanta, especially when Atlanta was really running. I mean, Carlos Vela is not a true forward, but he's does what LAFC needs him to do in terms of scoring. I mean, you know, you can list these best teams, and all of them have a guy who puts the ball in the back of the net with regularity and can change a game. And that's the thing right now. Lucas is the only one out there. Darlington can, but he's not a completely offensive player. You need a striker that can do that, and they just don't have it. And so you're manufacturing offense, and you're under pressure now. If you give up that early goal, there's not – you know, you look at New England, they were able to fight back. Now, they gave up the late goal, but they were able to fight back as opposed to the crew who give up that early goal, and now it's like, okay, what do we do? What do we do? And, you know, you just don't have that guy.
We never saw the game plan. It's giving up a goal of a 9 minute. You never saw what the game plan would be. And back to that yellow card handball Morales had. I thought it could have worked. There were some times where Etienne was pretty wide open or 1v1.
Yeah.
That pass over to the right where Maxi jumped up and almost caught it, that was because Etienne was wide open on the right side of the field. And I think New York adjusted and they were able to slow us down. I think Etienne, best chance of the match was when he got past the New York fullback, can't remember who it is. He ran, he got past him, made a little move, and Ikemi sent it about 10 yards above the crossbar. But they had chances, and then second half, I don't know if we're going to jump into that, but once you change the formation, you bring somebody in, less than a minute later, you give up a second goal, and then you don't even know if that formation change would have helped you, because now you're down two, and it's a whole different kind of throwing glasses of water on a fire type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and one of you mentioned Aiden Morris. Why doesn't he play in this game where it's a small field.
It's more aggressive.
Superior talent.
That's the thing.
Don't you just need to stick that bulldog in there and see what he can do?
Well, I think the thought was, going back to what Caleb said about needing technical players, you've got Artur and Nagbe who can kind of be those disruptors to ideally break things up, and that's what Aiden does best is he's physical. You know, he's not going to create, he's not going to dribble guys, and I think they hoped that that's what James would bring to the middle of the field. And Caleb said it even before the lineup came out last week that, you know, a player who'd been playing well was going to have to not play because you knew Lucas was getting back in there. Mm-hmm. And James had played well.
Yeah, James
Aiden
has played well.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, we can debate this, but I think this is a good problem to have. You know,
okay.
As little as you have up top right now, you've got three central midfielders, four if you include Igbukeme, that all probably deserve to start. And you've got three center backs. Now, the three center backs haven't all played great at one point in time, but I think you have three starting level center backs. You've seen some depth form at right back with Harrison playing there and Etienne's ability. So, you know, if this team can just find a goal scorer, I mean, I think it all comes back to that. And, you know, look, going on the road to New York City is tough. Mm. They have a good record at home. They're the defending champions for a reason.
It's a cauldron.
But yeah, if you just, you know, that was my whole take from this game is you need somebody that can just grab the game, score a goal, calm things down.
A guy like Hurtado, who, like a bolt of lightning in the New England game, scores the tying goal.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because
he's spent.
Oh, stop.
It's interesting because, you know, we're talking about the lack of forwards. Well, both of them scored against New England.
I know.
And I think both of those goals are good goals. Now, at New York City, and this is something I also want to point out, you're not doing a lot of crosses because it's so narrow. And there's so little, you know. The goals came both from Derek Etienne having a lot of space in New England on the right-hand side coming up from fullback and being able to send in a normal cross. And it was good runs, you know, kind of losing that defender, being off the defender's back. And those are what good forward, that's a run a good forward makes. So credit where credit's due there. You just didn't have, you know, you couldn't play crosses much in Yankee Stadium because they go out for throw-ins on the other
right.
side most.
It's almost like a chip. You can't
They go into the bleachers for a home run. All right. Well, what's the, you know, we're pining for this player X who's out there somewhere in the world. And the rest of the league calendar is winding down. The Premier League is in their final week. Not that we're going to get a player from there, but it just, you know, the calendar for the rest of the world is different than ours. So reorient me as to the timetable that we could realistically bring a guy in. When's the window open? When's the window closed?
It's July 2nd.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah.
Beginning of
July is when they can officially sign someone.
Guarantee me that how many guys do you think we've looked at? Do we have somebody in our sights that we're going to be ready to announce that we're bringing them in?
From my understanding, they've looked at multiple guys. They had probably three or four that they were really interested in before, you know, with this Giassi trade. And they tried to get a deal done before the transfer window closed in earlier, beginning of this month. It was just such tight turnaround. And
you want to rush a selection.
Right.
Rush, yeah.
I think that's important. As much as it's painful right now to watch this team play offense most of the time, I think, you know, you can get by getting results. You know, if you're getting results at home, you've gotten some results on the road. I mean, this is only the second road loss of the year. They've gotten four draws.
Yeah.
And I think, well, as much as we give Caleb Porter grief for not winning on the road, and he hasn't yet this year, you know, going going to Philly and going to New York City are the only two losses. But yeah, there's definitely targets identified. I would imagine negotiations have well taken place, but I think it's important enough that you need to make sure this guy fits in. You need to make sure that this is someone that fits with what you want to do, can fit in with Lucas, because that's going to be the biggest thing is, once you get the guy here, how long does it take before he's on the field and comfortable?
Then it's September all of a sudden.
If you can get that, if you can narrow that window as much as possible, and that could be, you know, a guy who is comfortable speaking Spanish so that he and Lucas can get on the same page. You know, some little things like that I think are could be big to turning it around very quickly.
All right. Is there a guy in the league that we can trade for? Maybe underachieving, maybe unhappy.
But is that...
I don't know.
Is that what you want, though?
No, I'm not saying that's what I want. I'm just trying to cover all the different bases here.
I think there's
just asking the questions.
I even look at James being brought in this year. He was in the second division of Spain. He was not on a national team radar. So their scouting is wide. I think their scouting
absolutely.
Goes, you know, beyond watching Rebecca Lowe and the Robbies on Saturday.
So it's not going to be a guy in MLS.
There's more soccer beyond the English Premier League?
There is, I think.
I thought it was just MLS in England.
Well, I will say this. They do a good job of scouting around the world. It's just that finding that striker is the hardest part. I think, you know, and I'm guilty of this. We're all doom and gloom. But over the course of this season, we've seen a lot of really attractive build-up play. It's just the finishing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like the whole thing is a broken-down jalopy.
What you want is to find a gem like Ola Kamara. Like...
They're not going to trade him to us.
Yeah. No. But I didn't mean. I mean,
that would be
love
fun.
To have,
though,
I'd love to have Ola Kamara back, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is, they kind of pulled him out of
nowhere.
Yeah, he was in Norway.
And he came in and he just absolutely obliterated the league consistently.
Well, that was Greg too. He had a thing coaching up in Scandinavia. I think he had a lot of pull, and he had a lot of inside scouting just from playing against or coaching against these guys.
I think that this will be a bigger transfer than that. You know, Ola, I don't even think was a DP when he got in.
I don't think he was.
I think this will be a bigger transfer than this. Like, the ceiling, I think, would be if they spent what they spent on Lucas. I think that's, I don't think you're getting some of the bigger transfers in MLS that we've seen recently, but I don't think you need to. I mean, I don't know what New York spent to get Castellanos, but he's not making a ton when you look at some, you know, I think he's just over the DP threshold.
Especially the cost of living in that city.
Lucas is what, seven mil? Is how much they spent for him?
It's been reported anywhere 7 to 9.5.
Okay, I mean, I think seven mil can get you a really good striker. You can find a really good striker in a mid-tier Italy or Spain or
France.
Liga MX. What are you doing in
Liga MX, exactly.
Yeah. I would
get
not
another,
be surprised.
Another Argentine or
I would not be surprised if they go down to Argentina or even, you know, some Liga MX, especially because of this Lucas thing, because I think that's going to be so important. You know, the time to gel with all the attacking players is going to be important, but if these two can get on the same page quickly,
the language barrier, that's probably going to save you weeks of time getting them together.
If they have a comfort, you know, I don't think you need to go to Lucas's hometown and find the best striker there.
There's a guy who grew up right down the street from
me.
You guys would just call him.
All right, we'll check out your van and see what
maybe Lucas knows somebody, you know? Like,
yeah,
I don't. I mean, this happens sometimes. You hear about it from time to time. Who was it?
Yeboah. Yeah. He came in off of Jonathan Mensah boosting him up.
To go way back.
Yeboah was also playing for the U.S. national team.
Yeah. But to go way back, I think Stern John was Ansel Elcock's cousin. Or there was some relationship there.
What's Stern John doing?
And speaking of elite strike, you know, these things happen sometimes. If Lucas has a recommendation, I think you at least look at it. Because, again, if it's somebody he likes, not that you need to, you know, have him be LeBron GM type of guy, but I do think that's important.
Well, that didn't work out very well for the Lakers this year, though, did it? It did not. All right, well, let's move on from this. We'll await with bated breath, and hopefully in the next several weeks we'll bring in a striker. Things just don't get any easier at all, and I want to preface this real quickly by referencing the East standings, which are ridiculous. You have Montreal, Orlando, and Philly.
We all knew Montreal was going to be near 20 the top. Points. We all knew that, right?
With the tiebreakers, they're on the top of the table. Cincinnati is a point back. It is a grave humiliation that we are now looking up at them in the standings. Now, if you look at some of their scheduled games so far, they are a minus goal differential. They've played a lot of the bottom-dwelling clubs. I think this is all going to sort itself out. But the good news is, with 13 points, we're only 7 points out of first place. You know, this is ground that can be made up.
There's congestion.
So packed together.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, I know it's not fun to watch these games. I was watching Saturday with a buddy, and, you know, they gave up the second goal, and he's actively like, well, give up a third. Just give up a third. You know, he's one of those guys. And, like, you know, I'm telling him, look, like, I know this isn't good. It doesn't look good. This isn't fun to watch, but, like, yeah, this is still pretty early. We're not early in the season anymore. We're almost a third. I think we'll be a third of the way next week. But, you know, you look at some of the teams that have gone on runs, moved up to third or fourth in the conference, and then won MLS Cup. It's a second half of the year type of league with the way the playoffs set up. You want to be hot, and if they can get, again, I don't want to keep saying the same thing, but if they can get a guy who's going to, you know, be a second half of the season MVP type of guy that's scoring goals, that changes a lot. Because as you said, Brian, everything but the final third has been pretty good. Now, I think I'm still not happy with some of the defending from time to time and whatnot.
Especially on set pieces.
Yeah, it's but more lax. Often than not, they've figured that out and good enough to win games if you're scoring goals.
We have the players to take care of those problems.
Right. And, yeah. You know, so, you know, what you can't do is fall too far behind.
Right.
And that's, I mean, like, you know,
that's what happened last year.
Right,
and like you look. They had a run towards the end of the season, but they had fallen so far behind.
Too late, yeah.
It was too late.
Well, right. You forget how many games we went without winning.
Well, yeah, they had what, the six game losing
seven. Eight, yeah,
and so
it
like
it was long. Yeah,
you just
so
bury
far,
yourself.
So far, at least they haven't done that. I mean, but you're talking about the standings. Look at a team like Seattle. Now, obviously, they just won the Champions League, but they are in last place in the West.
Unbelievable.
And like, you know, that's a team that's not in panic mode right now. They just won this weekend against Minnesota. So, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say be patient because I know that's not what fans want to hear, but I do think there's signs of positivity. It just, again, ball's got to go in the net.
Well, I think it's good that we know what the problem is. So hopefully it'll be fixable. Unfortunately, we're playing, now, albeit at home, but we're playing the current Supporter Shield leaders, LAFC, with their 23 points coming out of the West.
Mm.
I was looking over what they've done this year, and I haven't seen them play at all. There's so many teams in this league now, it's so hard to keep track. They have 13 players on their roster who have scored at least once. Put that in
That's
perspective for me, Thomas, if you can.
How many do the Crew have to have scored a goal this season?
Yeah,
five,
I should have looked that up.
Six?
Can somebody look that
Something
up?
Like that? Yeah, it's impressive to have more people than start in a match on your team scoring. It means that you have a lot of different weapons around you, and also it doesn't help, I think, that LA just lost, giving up two penalty kicks in Colorado. One of them converted
by
Mr. Jossie Zardes.
It was a penalty kick. Last two goals.
Irony.
Penalty kicks. Well, the first one doesn't count because
so they're gonna come in here a little salty.
A little salty. But
eight
also,
Crew players have scored at least
eight.
One.
Okay.
Goal.
Oh, that's right, more than that's, I thought.
Yeah.
One potential positive is they're technically playing this match at noon their time and their bodies. They have to travel over here and play in a 3 o'clock game. I don't know how much it's going to help, but that's a tall order.
Yeah,
it's
I
a
mean,
tall order.
This was, you know, when the schedule came out and we kind of looked at it, this stretch that the team is currently in the midst of was going to be tough, starting with that Kansas City game, because we thought Kansas City would be better than they started the season. New England, New York City, obviously on the road. You know, you had the D.C. game in there, and no one knew what to expect of D.C.
Right.
Obviously, they haven't been good. But then this against LAFC, at least this one's at home. I mean, you know, my take kind of from Saturday was like, New York City's just a damn good team, and you lost to a team that was better than you. And at home, you know, I don't think you can take that approach. Not that the team was taking that approach, but I don't think you can take that approach to LAFC. You need to get points at home, but it's I mean – not only is this a good team, they're a fun team. Mm-hmm. You said you haven't watched them, Brian. If you're going to watch the Western Conference, watch LA.
Okay.
I mean, you'll see them this weekend. But
okay.
They're fun. They're real fun.
Well, I suppose the challenge is what we've already brought up. With goals coming from so many players, that means creative play is coming from so many different places. Their leading scorer, four goals, with Carlos Vela, one of their DPs, the Mexican national. But they don't have to lean on anyone. And that's concerning, yeah. You know?
Yeah, this is a game where the Crew's going to have to score. I mean, I don't think it can be, like, cope for one goal, grind it out. You know, LAFC, I don't anticipate a shutout here. You know, no. LAFC is good enough to score at least once. I mean, they 2-2 with Philly. I mean, you know, they're scoring. I don't know if they've been shut out yet this. Yeah,
and they've only
they've not been shut out yet this season.
Their number one goalie, Maxime Crepier. I probably butchered his name. The
sounds perfect.
Canadian national has surrendered 9 goals in 10 matches, so he's been solid.
Yeah, that was their big issue the last couple of years, was they didn't have a high-level goalkeeper, and they addressed that this offseason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is a team – I mean, yeah, they just lost, but this is a legit MLS Cup contender, as was New York City, as we thought New England would be. So, this is a –
is this the toughest match all season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think being at home, maybe it's a little less difficult than New York City. I don't know. I think you can make the argument anyway. What would be great, you know, and for a number of reasons, but if this is an awesome crowd Saturday, you know, because LAFC, you know, that's what they've got at home. They feed off that. You know, if you can get the Crew, and I think the Crew have done a good job usually with that, I think that can help the team a lot.
I would imagine that this match is going to attract one of the bigger crowds of the year and one of the most boisterous crowds of the year.
And the rain might hold off.
It's supposed to be decent.
But like later that night, it's supposed to rain. So hopefully that keep pushing.
Also of note, LAFC plays on Wednesday against Austin at home. So.
Okay, and Austin's
hasn't been
pretty good.
Horrible this year.
Yeah.
So they will be, you know, coming off a short week, having to travel. You know, it's not like you mentioned the time difference. It's not like they can travel here Wednesday. Maybe they'll travel straight.
Are they on
Austin,
the road to Austin?
Home against Austin.
Oh, okay. Still, that's a long week. It'll be interesting to see what sort of lineup changes they make. I imagine they're going to come with their full lineup, being that this is a conference game on Wednesday, and maybe sit a few guys against us. Maybe.
That was my first thought, too, and I think that's how coaches often look at it, but you talk about their number of goal scorers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a deep team. So even slight rotation, and I hope for fans attending the game's sake, a guy like Carlos Vela plays, because you don't get to see him very often. You know,
we're used to Columbus having teams come in and not play their stars.
Oh, sure. You know, David Beckham with LA Galaxy was only a rumor as far as we were concerned.
Played once in Columbus.
Yeah.
Giovinco, he missed a lot of matches in Columbus, too, which just made – like. It's not the field's fault. There was no reason why you didn't play him. It's just,
I always appreciated that Zlatan took the field here in Columbus.
Well, he loves hearing a crowd because he always thinks it's for him. So.
Oh, I just...
And a lot of times it is.
I miss that guy. He's so... He's like a cartoon villain almost.
That's
so
a great way. I can imagine him
so
tying
funny.
Somebody to
he's
a railroad
so
track
funny.
With a cape and a
talking
top
to him,
hat on.
Yeah, yeah, talking to about him, talking about himself in the first person. That's just endlessly entertaining. I miss that guy.
That's a word for it.
Yeah. It's good for the league, you know, and at least he would show up.
That's true.
You know, a lot of these older guys. Especially back in the day, would come here and just sort of jog around, and that was the end of it. But he came to play, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anybody else on the LAFC roster that fans should zero in on, not only as someone you're concerned about, but also just a player that's fun to watch?
They have Kellen Costa, who came from Colorado, obviously a guy who's been a part of the national team. A lot of the names, just looking through their roster right now, are newer.
Mm-hmm. Very international roster,
yeah, very
as I
much
know.
So.
One of the more international rosters in the league.
Yeah, Latif Blessing is a guy who's been around for a while. He's fun. Doesn't start every game anymore for them necessarily, but was a winger at one point, moved to central midfield. Yeah, I mean, they've just got depth. I mean, that's the thing is whoever they put out will be good, kind of regardless of...
Even Hollingshead, who...
Yeah.
He has 3 goals this year.
Yeah.
And he's out on the back, and he's, American who hasn't had as much, time with the national team conversation, but he's still... It's a team full of solid players. I think after they had a couple rough seasons, LAFC is... They don't want to have another losing season. They don't want to be another team missing the playoffs.
Well, they don't want to be the LA Galaxy.
That's very
true.
After
all their years of success, as this league grew, LA Galaxy shrunk, and especially when LAFC came in. I mean, there were some years where they were just truly
they were run by really big, names like Keane and Donovan, and you had Beckham there too. And then once those guys left and you brought in Chicharito to retire, it kind of got tough there for a while, yeah.
One thing I will say is LAFC's given up some goals. I mean, you mentioned only 9, but, there have been multi-goal games and things like that. So, we talked about how poor the Crew have been up there. If you can have, a DC-like performance where the scoring gets spread around or guys are getting in dangerous spots like that, you'd love to see Etienne really be aggressive in this one. Obviously, Zelarayan, Pedro... I think you need these guys to really step up in this game.
What sort of format?
Or do you think Aiden goes in above Jane? Do you think with a bigger field and maybe try to disrupt LAFC?
I don't know, because Caleb mentioned last week.
Did I jump into your question, bro?
No, go ahead.
Caleb mentioned last week that he might have, and I don't know how much he was really looking forward or if he was just kind of talking, but he might have one plan for New York City and another completely different plan for LAFC. And obviously that makes sense, the field, team you're playing against, things like that. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if they go back to the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Tactically, what do we expect to
see? They need more people up front. I think they need more people up front.
I think they put Zelarayan in his natural position. And I think they're just as good as they played in the 4-3-3. That's what they're comfortable in. And you're at home. You're against another team that wants to play. Now, unless Caleb wants to give LAFC possession and, play a little bit more defensive, but I think at home you've got to take the game to them a little bit and take what that comes with. So I think the comfort of the 4-2-3-1, assuming everyone remains healthy this week, you get your best lineup out there. I think that's the way you have to approach this one.
Yeah. Well, let's make our picks, and we're going to talk about the fact that Saturday is a doubleheader, and there's also an event on Thursday that we need to make note of. But let's make our picks real quick, and then we'll kind of wind down with the little housekeeping. Sam?
Dang it.
Ooh.
There's this random shark movie that's happening on the TV behind us, and completely distracted. With them not being able to score, I don't see them. Even if LA rests people, I can still see this as a 2-0 loss.
2-0 loss. All right, Sam.
And then Crew 2 will beat TFC.
Perf?
For some reason, I have a good feeling about this game.
Really?
Wow.
I don't know. The way that the Crew played well at home, even the New England game, I thought there were a lot of positives out of that. I'm going to say it's a high-scoring 3-2 Crew win. Maybe that's because LAFC rests some guys, whatnot. But, I hope it's a raucous crowd and, some goals that maybe bring some people back. And, I say 3-2 Crew win.
All right. Thomas?
Whenever he scores or assists, I think Crew have only lost 2 or 3 matches since 2020, since he joined us. So I think we get a Zelarayan goal, and we're going to – not we, because I don't play for the team. I'm not on the team. The Crew are going to, I think they'll win 2-1. I think they'll be able to feed off the home atmosphere and hopefully feed off with Crew 2 in the building too. Maybe feed off some of those winning vibes and take it 2-1.
Man, I was going to be really sad with my pick. You guys are... No, I'm going to be sad with my pick.
This is a sad sandwich with the sad on the red and the positivity in the middle.
Exactly. Now, I think we're going to score, and we may even score first, but they're going to score last and beat us 3-2. This is a good team, and we're just not where we need to be yet.
And morale's not exactly high.
No.
Right now.
It's not. It's yeah. not. I'll tell you what morale is high. It's with Crew 2, who win again, this time on the road against that. Where did they even play this game? Maybe on a real-sized soccer field?
It was not at NYC Yankee Stadium. It was at...
it was in Queens.
Yeah, it's in Queens. Let me pull up the name of it
It's like
here.
Bogdan or...
Yeah, it's something that starts with a B.
That's all right. So we beat them 1-0, down a man. When did we lose a guy and how?
Yeah, 20 minutes roughly. It was a straight red card to Philip Quinton. I don't think it was, nothing to complain about. There were a lot of cards in this game.
Yeah.
Like Mo Farsi got a yellow card a few minutes before for time wasting. It's like
time wasting in a 0-0 match.
Well, it was 1-0 at that point.
Oh, they were already up.
The crew scored at 11-11.
Gotcha.
Jason Russell Rowe, I believe this is his fourth or fifth of the year.
Yeah,
he's tied for second in MLS Next Pro in goals. This was, and we kind of wrote about this, John did, before the game, was this was a battle of one of the best defensive teams in that league and New York City, who has been scoring like crazy, just like the first team. So credit to the crew for shutting them out. New York City had some chances. I mean, they probably should have scored at least one, but I think that's when you do get momentum going, sometimes you kind of create your own luck, and they've done that a few times now. But this is it's a different level of soccer, no doubt, if you haven't watched. But this is a team that's playing good, good soccer. And, it's not necessarily fun to watch on the stream, but no. I recommend if you're at the game this weekend, you can stay for the reserve game.
So it's after, and we're playing
Toronto FC 2.
Oh, that adds a little extra.
Well, and
spice.
They
were down. Yeah, they were down to them 1-0 3 weeks ago, and they came back in 4 weeks ago. They came back in 1-2-1.
Huh. Yeah.
So they Toronto comes in with a little bit of motivation too.
All right. So the crew first team kick off at 3:30 with LAFC. So what time the two games start?
7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Let's say, for instance, that you can't attend the game in the afternoon for whatever reason, but you want to go to the two game. Do you have to buy a ticket? How does
this
work?
Your ticket is good for both games.
Okay, but if you can't attend the first game, you want to come to the two match. The standard $10.
Contact your ticket representative. Ah.
I think by Wednesday, just talking with the communications folks, they've been working on that stuff, and usually that comes out a few days before. So I would look maybe Wednesday to see if there's any official thing from the crew.
Will the beer wagon still be open at 7 o'clock?
I mean, they're normally selling beer at Crew 2 games, so I don't know why they would just
Can I get a bra?
Some concessions down.
Can I get
just
a bra?
I don't think they anticipate.
I just need a beer and a bra.
Yeah, I would think so. You can get those at historic Crew Stadium for Crew 2 games.
Yes, that is true. Well, this is a great opportunity for these kids, mostly kids, to play in the big stadium.
Right, and I mean they've been pretty impressed given what they've seen around the league, and we've touched on this before, but the support that they've gotten at historic Crew Stadium, and it's not been, I don't oversell it, it's been a few thousand people there, but I mean if you've watched some of these games.
A few thousand more than other stadiums.
Yeah, right. Some of the other teams have really struggled. They've contemplated, do we even need to be opening the gates for these games? So it's been nice, and I think it would, these kids really appreciate it. Some of them are full adults, but, I think if you can hang around, maybe even for a half or whatnot, it's still early enough. It's not like you're getting out of there any later than you would for a normal crew game. These kids have played well. They really have embraced being part of this crew community. I think you'll start to see more and more of them. So I think they would really appreciate it to have a big crowd hang out and really support them in this game. And like I said, they're fun. They're winning.
As Mr. Cub Ernie Banks said, let's play two.
Second Cubs reference here today.
It's all right.
I don't like it.
No, I'm not a Cubs fan either.
Oh, that's good.
I like the culture of the whole.
Okay.
The Harry Carey, Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field is cool. Yeah. You have to admit.
But there are a lot of former crew fans who play for Crew 2, like Jacob Erlinson, Abdi Muhammad. These are kids who played in Columbus, grew up around there. I mean, Abdi Muhammad's from Westerville. And he grew up in Westerville.
Yeah.
And so now they're not just playing historic Crew Stadium where they've watched matches as they were younger, but now they're playing in the same field as the senior team. Like, you can't ask for more.
It's a big deal for these guys, so make a day and a night of it.
Just a side story, at one of the Crew 2 games at Historic Crew Stadium, one of the academy teams had like 6 or 7 guys come down in the Nordic. So like this is they're building through, you know, through the system there. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll start to see kind of the stories you hear over in Europe where, and you've had some of that with a Will Trapp or, you know, guys like that. But now guys can really come through and play at each level and follow the first team and then be a part of the reserve team and be, you know, this is the path that you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
And they're starting to build that. Yep. And kids are jumping on board.
Yeah.
All right, so Thursday, what is this, band practice? What we got going on here?
Project Jukebox is going to be hanging out at the Dot, right? That's the preferred
LDC.
Nomenclature,
the Dot.
They're going to be out there practicing some new chants, because as much as I love the chants that the Nordic does, and when I'm in the Nordic, I like sing along with them, but when... freshening it up a little bit, I think, is the goal of
Glory to Columbus can only be sung so many times.
Now, I think before we started taping, Murphy had a great point that in a lot of clubs around the world, they have a chant for every player on the team. And I think
that's moments when you've won trophies.
I think that what they're looking for is some creativity in creating. Now, do we take a known song? What was the one you came up with? It was so good.
I did
good.
The Hurt So Good, but I did Hurtado So
Hurtado
Good.
Hurtado So Good? See, there you go. A little John Mellencamp.
Yeah. And these don't need to be complicated.
No.
Some of the European songs do get more complicated just because it's easy to spread that on social media and everyone's so invested in the fan culture. And that hasn't been the case here. And that's why they've started to do this, is hoping more and more people come out to learn some of these new ones, because the more people in the Nordic that know, that's the reason they just recycle the same ones, is because everyone know, you know, even if you're a fan who goes to 5 games a year, you can probably catch on to those chants that have been around for a long time.
Because you're not too small, and you're also like you're big enough where you can't just throw something new in there,
right?
Because
right.
Like you talk about the big European teams, following like women's soccer in England, your Liverpool has about a couple thousand people who go out to the matches. Not a lot. It's not like the men's side who fill A and field and it's rocking every match. This season they made a song for every single player up and down the roster, and it was that quick. But they're also much smaller. The Nordic is, it's big. It's not European big that we all, I know, get.
You got to rehearse. You got to rehearse.
This is great, and it's not just the supporters that'll be there, but both team captains of Jonathan Mensah and Marco Micheletto are both going to be there.
I like it. So is it at the stadium?
Yeah. It's
what time?
I think it starts at 7.
Anybody can show up?
Anybody. If you support the black and gold, or if you just like singing, come on
so
out
it's
to
kinda
the
like,
dot.
Or yelling.
It's kind of like choir choir practice.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, think of like a barbershop, how many thousand tet. I don't know how many.
But can they chant in harmony?
We don't need them to chant in harmony, right. Sam. We just
want to be good.
I got to go home and pull out the roster and come up with some hooks. I feel like I could
Make
be pretty
some.
Good at this.
Post it on social media.
If you did,
would I post this?
Hashtag Crew96.
Or just tag at Nordeca.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
We retweet you quite a bit.
I'm going to start working on this.
Yeah. Record your own video at home. Record a video. People will love it. And then it'll...
Yeah. How's your singing voice?
Here's one. This song is too obscure, but when Room makes a great save, Soundgarden's Room 1,000 years wide. Check that song out. It's colossal. Nobody knows it. That's not going to work. It's too obscure. But I'm just saying, that's how my mind works.
But some of the ones, I mean, you hear the songs in Europe. There are multiple songs that I've heard the actual song one time and been like, that's a Manchester United song. Like, I never heard the actual song before, you know? I think some of the obscure ones, now, you need to get it enough that people can catch
on.
But
people might recognize In My Room by the Beach Boys. In my room. Huh? Right?
That could work in it.
Because it's very sing-songy.
Just have 2 or 3 lines that you can
write
repeat.
That down,
that
Murph. Write that down. In My Room by the Beach Boys.
In My Room.
For Eloy Room.
Okay.
Sam, when you post this podcast tomorrow, we need to tag Project Jukebox in it. Since
In My Room. Love the Beach Boys. Oh, man. Now the wheels are turning now.
Tune in next week to find out what songs Brian put.
I might have a song for everybody on the roster.
Wow, that's a challenge.
Next week's podcast is just a sing-along. We don't even talk about the game.
No. Now you've got me going.
I guess it's better than my airing of grievance podcast idea.
At least this one people won't be mad at each other for.
Yeah. We want to
be surprised.
At the end of the day, we just want to be positive, okay? All right. Thanks to our friends at Saucy Brew Works. Speaking of positive, what a positive atmosphere it is here. You're hungry, they got you. You're thirsty for some beer, they have
a wide variety.
Yeah.
If you have paws.
We saw a happy dog when we came in. It just did my heart so good. This dog was going to town on the cup of whipped cream and took the cup with him on the way out.
And some match commentary, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Because when we asked him how he felt about the crew game this weekend, his answer was?
Rough.
Yeah, rough. Absolutely. And, of course, great coffee here at the Saucy Coffee Shop, which is attached to the whole thing. That's where we do the podcast. So thank you for listening. And like and subscribe if you would. Leave a comment. Make sure you're positive and gentle because we are very sensitive. Thanks for listening to the Massport Podcast. For Sam Farney, for Murph, Patrick Murphy, for Thomas Costello, I'm Brian Phillips. Listen to my radio station, CD92.9. I'd appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week for another Massive Report Podcast.